Today's scripture is from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. At that time, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan River so that John would baptize him. John tried to stop him and said, "I need to be baptized by you, yet you come to me?" Jesus answered, "Allow me to be baptized now. This is necessary to fulfill all righteousness." So John agreed to baptize Jesus. When Jesus was baptized, he immediately came up out of the water. Heaven was opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and resting on him. A voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I dearly love. I find happiness in him."
All right, Pamela Miller. I'm going to do it again. This baptismal story is in all four Gospels. One of the few stories we find in all four of them. We don't find the birth of Jesus in all four Gospels, but we find this story of Jesus' baptism, and it's different depending on the writer. And that ought to give folks who claim to take the Bible literally a real headache. That's a separate sermon. But it's another example of what can happen when we say we take the Bible literally, when there are indeed differences and contradictions all throughout. And yet there is so much truth. But when we misuse the Bible, it can be harmful. And has been harmful. Because all of us can be tempted to do what we call proof text. We find an issue or a platform that we want to prove, and we pick a verse out and go, "The Bible says this." Here's what this story in Matthew is about. And Matthew was writing to a Jewish audience who had been destroyed more than once and lost their temple twice, their place of worship. Imagine how we would feel if someone came in after all our work, all our dedication to this sacred place that we feel safe and secure and home, and just mowed it down. Imagine how we'd feel. Well, that's how the Jewish community was feeling, with no hope. Comes along the writer of Matthew and is trying to marry their tradition of their Jewish tradition with this new rabbi Jesus, this new way of being in the world. You know, I've heard a lot of sermons about baptism. Growing up Southern Baptist, when I heard these stories about John the Baptist baptizing Jesus, then that was sort of used to say, if you're Baptist, you're in the club. And I'm sort of ashamed to tell you all this, but really, and Brenda just shakes her head, really, I thought John was a Baptist. For years, Morgan. Lori. Yeah. Some of you can feel me here. Of course, we talked about John a little bit in Angels Among Us, didn't we? Born to Elizabeth and Zechariah, who thought they wouldn't have a son, and a son they had. So Matthew has John the Baptist baptizing Jesus. And all the other folks John had baptized was for repentance of sin. And that's always how I've heard baptism. One and done. Not really. Because Bonnie, if you backslide, you got to have a do-over. Melinda, I see you shaking your head like, really? But really, that was usually at revival time.
Right.
You know, the older I get, the more I study Scripture, and let me just tell you, I just can't get enough of it. For every time I read these old, old stories, something new comes upon me. So reading this story in Matthew, And here in this beautiful message of this picture, can you see it? John baptizing Jesus. And the scripture says, as Jesus came out of the water, there was a voice from heaven that said, "This is my son with whom I am well pleased." Wow. I call baptism claiming waters. Because to me, at least this time I read the story and studied it, that's what it appeared to happen. Jesus was claimed. And maybe so was John. For the scripture doesn't say only Jesus heard the voice. They were both there. Perhaps God was expressing pleasure of John for following God's call, claiming them both. It's interesting, too, that this scripture comes right before Jesus went into the wilderness to be tempted. Perhaps the baptism was meant to remind Jesus who he was and to get him ready for that challenge of temptation, a place where he was going to be hungry, lonely, powerless, claiming waters. Have you ever lost your way? Have you ever forgotten who you are? Have you ever listened to the world tell you who you are? I have. Let me tell you a story of one time when I was claimed. It was in Cannell City, Kentucky. Anybody know where that is? That's the suburbs of West Liberty. Those of you who know where West Liberty is, know that it was in the suburbs of West Liberty. We're talking about out there. Eastern Kentucky County. I was on my softball traveling team. And we show up at Cannell City, Kentucky. And the first thing happened, we showed up with our steel cleats, because we wore steel cleats back then. We didn't play. And first thing, they did look at us, and they said, "You can't wear steel cleats." And I looked to my teammates. I said, "Girls, let's just take our shoes off and beat them that way." And we did. Second game, they let us put our cleats back on. So we were in the winner's game, the championship game, and we'd been there all day. Anybody play softball here? Soccer, you know how it goes. You sit there all day long. So we were there. It's 8 or 9 o'clock, been there all day playing whatever. And I was playing left center field. They used to call it Rover back in the day. And all of a sudden, the opposing coach goes to the home plate. And I see them talking. Then they call my coach over. And then my coach said, "Marsh, come in." And I just sort of stood there. And now as I was jogging off the field, they said, "They're filing a protest because they say you're a boy." My mama Some of you know my mama. My mama was on the dugout, right behind the dugout, and she was going, "That's my baby. That's my baby. That ain't no boy. That's my baby." Now, I've got to be honest with you. Until I was preparing for today's sermon, I had never admitted to myself how humiliating that was for me. I'd always told this story as a joke. But I got to tell you, my mama dressed me in patent leather shoes and ruffled socks and probably some ruffled drawers and little dresses. And in truth, that moment was probably the beginning of the realization to my mom that I wasn't going to grow into that little girl. And so as I jogged off the field, I felt bad for my mom and my dad. And I really did feel humiliated and embarrassed. But I didn't tell anybody. No, I came off the field and said, "I'll show you I'm a girl." But at the time, I have to tell you, it probably wouldn't have shown them that. I remember going up to home plate, and there was this real discussion. We're filing this game under protest. As the discussion continued for 15, 20 minutes, they allowed me to go back and left center field. I wonder sometimes if those folks filing the protest ever felt bad about that. But I tell you who felt good. This little girl whose mama said, "That's my baby." It wasn't raining that day, but let me tell you, that was some baptism by fire. That was claiming waters. If you ever lost your way, forgotten who you are, let others tell you who you are. Let me tell you another time I've felt some claiming waters. I took a little hiatus from church. 7 years to be exact. After my home church kicked me out, it's like I'm done with church. Then I found an open and affirming church, and I'm so incredibly grateful for that minister. And the first day I walked in, Paul Ladd, an older fellow who was the unofficial greeter, Stanley, welcomed me, handed me a bulletin, and told me how glad he was I was there. And he didn't care who I loved or who I lived with. I went to the service that morning, that first morning, and Nancy Kemper, another older woman, she's the mother of Nancy Jo Kemper, who you may be familiar with. Nancy Kemper after church said, "Man, girl, you can sing. I like hearing those hymns just as like sitting in front of you." And I was sitting with my partner that morning. Nancy Kemper didn't care. She's just glad I was at church. I continued going to that church for a couple years, and I heard prayers from the pulpit and sermons from the pulpit and prayers at the communion table saying, not just we accept who you are, but we celebrate folks like you. We embrace folks like you. That was great. But then about 4 years in, I don't know why, but a light bulb of sorts went on. It was like somebody flipped a switch. It was like all this stuff I'd been hearing, that I was okay, that who I loved didn't matter to God. In fact, God said to me, "Marsh, stop it. Stop letting other people tell you who you are. Stop fighting who you are. I made you who you are. So let it go and be what I've called you to be." Claiming waters, my friends. I remember that day was the day that we were remembering our baptisms, which we're going to do here in a little bit. And I remember that minister putting water on my hand and saying, "Remember whose you are. Less than a year later, remembering who I was and whose I was, I answered the call to ministry at age 44. What in the world? I had a comfortable business. Things all good. What? Seminary? Pam knows. Deb knows. 4 years later, I answered a call to start a new church that almost every advisor in church circle said, don't do that. They've tried to start UCC churches before. They've been trying for years. Don't do that. Okay. Friends, I got to tell you, the moment that I embraced who I was, and that God didn't just tolerate me or accept me, but embraced me and celebrated me, it was on. And it still is. That doesn't mean there's not tough days, disappointments, challenges. There are for all of us. But what keeps this pastor going is those claiming waters that reminds me that God made me, God loves me, and God wants to use me in the world. Amen. Claiming waters are there for all of us. Oh, Woody in Toy Story forgot who he was. And did you see that moment? When they turned on the light and he saw all the stuff around him, who he was, because he'd forgotten. And he stepped back and went, wow. Wow. God says to us, you are mine, and you and you and you and you and you and you are mine. Brothers and sisters, if those claiming waters don't launch us into the new year, I don't know what will.